RTL Stories, the podcast with Lisa Berg from RTL Group.
One great idea can be a game changer. And this is something I think that drives all of us, whether it's in streaming, in linear television, in digital, the vibe and the feeling that if you create something others like, talk about, something that becomes, you know, a big brand, something huge, or, you know, serves a niche audience, I think that is great.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RTL Stories, the podcast. I'm Lisa Berg, based at RTL here in Luxembourg. And in this series, we explore the journeys of people who have shaped RTL across Europe and beyond. And today's guest is someone who sits at the intersection of creativity, strategy and innovation, and whose work has helped bring some of RTL Group's biggest formats to life across the markets. If you've heard of The Traitors, you've seen what happens when a great format travels. But behind these international success stories is a lot of collaboration, coordination, and increasingly technology. And that's exactly where today's guest comes in. Jan-Peter Lacher is Senior Vice President, Content and Business Development at RTL Group. He leads the development of international content activities, drives business development and strategic projects across the group, works closely with teams to scale ideas beyond borders, and is driving the strategic use of AI in how content is created, produced and distributed. With over more than 25 years at RTL, he's now moved from programming into transformation and now is shaping the future of content and business at a group level, while staying closely connected to what makes a story resonate with the audience. So Jan, welcome and congratulations on everything that you've achieved already in a quarter of a century.
Thank you for having me, Lisa. What an introduction. Thank you so much.
The introduction is your life story. So let's start with some personal beginnings and your early influences in the media world, because, you know, it's clearly what you're passionate about, but where did that come from?
So to be honest, it started very early on. So as a kid, I was crazy about big entertainment shows. And back then, I mean, there were two channels. And then there was a kind of inflection point for me. I think it was end of the 80s. For the first time, RTL was distributed in Germany. And so there was a huge new experience in terms of fresh programming, fresh ideas, you know, pushing the boundaries. And that really attracted me. As a kid and as a teenager, I tried to explore whatever, you know, is possible in this field, worked for a local station, and then had first touch points with RTL, even prior to my study. And I just liked the spirit, the creative vibe, and the opportunity to create program for big audiences.
And then for you, you started out in programming and scheduling. For anybody who hasn't grown up in TV language mode, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, you know, I went to film school, studied film and television production, but my focus was very much on content development, production, but also strategy. And so during my study, I had the chance to intern at RTL. And then by the end of the study, the former head of programming, who really, you know, had a huge role in shaping RTL in the early days, asked me to join the team. And so I really had the opportunity to learn from the best.
And then you clearly made an impression as
and,
well.
And then started right after study, you know, and in the beginning I thought, let's do it 2 or 3 years. And then it became a bit longer.
It's because, become a little bit longer, that's
it
true.
It was always fun and lots of changes over the years. But, you know, the passion is still the same. Yeah.
And so programming and scheduling, one part is content and the other part is reaching the biggest audience possible.
Exactly.
And you care about that a lot.
Yes. And at this time, I mean, it was, I wouldn't say easier, but the TV landscape and the general entertainment landscape was more limited. So when I started, it was really about, you know, reaching mass audiences, a big mainstream. RTL was always, you know, a big mainstream channel, attracting big audiences with a huge variety of different content genres, ranging from sports, news, to entertainment, factual, everything. And it was about, you know, having the best feeling what clicks with the audience, and then build a strong audience flow. So in the early years, it was a lot of building the structure, as you said, also in scheduling. So make sure that RTL is the perfect companion for you during the day, and then see, you know, which audience is available, and then collect the audience, build the habits. There was a lot of fun at this time.
And from more linear landscape television land to a more fragmented landscape, which is what we have today, the shift from linear to streaming, of course, massive change for media world.
Exactly.
And then, of course, we also had a transition to a catch-up situation, and that was a massive change also.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, we were early on with streaming. So the initial RTL Plus, which was called RTL Now, was launched in 2007, but it was a catch-up service. And at this time, we thought, well, it's a good idea, you know, also to have a second window, a second opportunity, develop a footprint in digital. But the focus was clearly on catch-up. And at this stage, we also found out, you know, that the market was fragmenting. And we thought the best way to successfully participate in this development is to fragment ourselves. So there was the additional opportunity with RTL Plus. But on the other hand, we also founded several smaller channels. And that was my startup experience also, founding first Nitro, which was a more male-skewing channel. Because at this point, the big RTL was very broad, but also, I mean, very female-oriented. And this totally made sense, you know, from a viewer perspective, but also from an advertiser perspective. And a couple of years later, we did it again with RTL Plus. It was then later renamed RTL Up for what we call best ager audience. So like female audience that is also, you know, really loves linear TV. It was a lot about nostalgia. And it really helped to build up our group market share in linear. And then, you know, over the years, the markets get more and more fragmented, more and more digital. And that's why, you know, in 2019, there was a clear pivot in heavily doubling down on the investments in streaming and growing RTL Plus really into a SVOD service with a meaningful footprint.
Subscription video on demand. SVOD. Yeah. So what I'm listening to here is that you were really matching the audience step by step as everything was changing, the options for consuming media were changing. You were also developing new audiences and audience strategies. So very, very creative strategy there as well. But now to the creative development and what makes a hit, because, you know, there's been several hits, really, really big hits. And you've worked really closely also on format development and creative strategy. So please walk us through how a concept develops from concept to screen within RTL.
Yeah, I think our strong philosophy is that there's a very strong local focus. So each and every business unit on the broadcast and streamer side has a very strong content team. And they decide and they choose what is best for their audience. And then on an RTL group level, we make sure that all those creators and all those content people are connected in the best way. And so there's a community of creative people who know each other very well, who value each other. And whenever there's a great new idea locally evolving or a trend, can also be with the competitors, you know, we are in touch. And we make sure that if there's a great idea, that we quickly scale it across the business unit.
But how do you know it's a great idea?
Yeah, I mean, a great idea, I think, has a clear franchise, clicks with the audience, reflects the zeitgeist, the current momentum, but also can be locally adapted. And one format which I really like, you also mentioned it in the beginning, is The Traitors.
Of course.
And it has been co-developed by RTL Netherlands Creative Unit. And as everybody know, we sold RTL Netherlands last year, but we still have a very strong collaboration in place. We also have a first look agreement on their new format ideas. So the creative unit of RTL Netherlands played an important part in launching Traitors. And then we quickly scaled it across RTL Group. And all the territories also benefited from the learnings of the different colleagues. I think it has a very smart concept, very easy to understand. I mean, The Traitor, it's pretty easy. And it also has a unique setting. And if you watch the local versions, there are also a lot of differences, which shows, you know, that our teams do the best in really locally tailoring the format to the needs of the audience. And this can be different in France, in Hungary, in Germany, and so on. And with Traitors, I mean, it has now traveled to more than 40 territories. It's a huge hit, also in the UK and in the US. And we have many other shows, also from Fremantle. For instance, if you take the big entertainment shows like Got Talent, Idol, those big entertainment monsters that started 20 years or more ago and still, you know, play an instrumental role in today's content offerings.
How important is it to develop an ecosystem with organization units like Fremantle?
Yeah, I mean, our unique position is that within RTL Group, we have all relevant sites. So we have production, a global production with Fremantle, and the variety of content across Fremantle is also stunning. You have a company with brands that range from Farmer Wants a Wife, yeah, or Too Hot to Handle, to Poor Things in high end. And a lot of entertainment in between documentary. So this is really unique. And then you have the commissioning side in the same group. And so there's a lot of collaboration. There's also natural and healthy competition. And I think the good thing is that in some areas, you know, we are really closely working together. That's a lot of fun.
Well, moving into what is transformative, of course, we have AI, and that is massively shaping, changing the future of every industry, including media, of course. You've been heavily involved in this. So let's compare the AI shift to previous industry shifts. How fundamental do you think the moment is?
Yeah, so for us, it's really a fundamental change with huge opportunities, but also huge challenges. For us at RTL Group, it's probably the second biggest transformation after the transformation from linear to streaming. And now it's about transforming the production business. And over the last three decades, we've seen a lot of innovation also in our industry. I mean, I remember back at film school, we were shooting on 35 millimeters, and there was one cameraman who used digital professional digital photography, you know, and everybody was making fun and saying, oh, this won't last. And the rest is history.
Why did they think that at the time?
Yeah, I think it's natural that in the beginning, you know, if there's innovation, there are some early adopters and there's a lot of resistance and a lot of uncertainty. But if you also take like nonlinear editing, that wasn't only a game changer in how we produce shows, but it was really also the foundation for new creative genres like talent shows. So, for instance, Got Talent wouldn't be possible without nonlinear editing. We've always seen innovation across the value chain. But with AI now, it's affecting the whole value chain. And it's coming with rapid speed. And this is the main difference. And this is why, you know, we actively have to explore it. And we started 3 years ago to go more into a more strategic, holistic approach. There were already lots of activities across our production units and also across broadcasting and streaming. But we really have now a clear focus on transforming video production with very good progress. In order, you know, to make best use of AI, we have to redefine our workflows. And this is really tough because some of those workflows have been around for two decades and they still properly work. And people say, well, you know, let's continue like this. But still, you know, it's not possible anymore because we have to look for ways to produce more efficiently, also to be able to make room for new innovation and fresh ideas.
When it comes to AI in the use of workflows and efficiency, that seems apparent and quite obvious. How about its use in creative idea generation?
So lots of use cases. So for me, AI is really a tool. And it's an accelerator and a great sparring partner. The good thing about our business is that the creative idea and the human creative idea always comes first. But AI can be a shortcut. So I give you one example. One lighthouse case we started 3 years ago was in the daily drama production at Ufa. The colleagues are producing three daily soaps for the German market. Each soap has 252 episodes per year. Yeah, so that's quite something. And when the team started to explore with AI, in the beginning, you know, lots of criticism, also uncertainty, which is totally natural. But then the team started to explore, and the writers in the writers' room started to use AI as a sparring partner to test their ideas, to use it for research. Some built chatbots for the main characters, and they started to interact with the characters to come up with new stories. And they found out, you know, it's actually fun to play around with this, and it can trigger new ideas that you then quickly bring into life.
That's absolutely fascinating, actually.
And this is just one area. In production, for instance, we are using it for the daily dramas. We do a lot of virtual production. That means that we still have some shooting days on original locations, and we are moving them into the studio using AI-created backgrounds to have a nice scenery. And so we can do more or less everything in the studio now. And it's also a time saver. In post-production, there are many use cases already. So in reality, for instance, it's a huge change in the whole logging, tagging process. We use AI, voice recognition, face recognition to speed up this process. And this really helps us on the one hand to bring down the production time and also reduce the time to market. And I think in the long run, this will help us to even better capture the momentum and the zeitgeist, because we all know that it takes a while to do pre-production, principal production, post-production, and that there's always, you know, the risk that in between the audience changes. So this is definitely a big driver, post-production, and also the whole area of visual effects. We see that there is already strong capabilities across the different models. So you can create establishers. We're doing a lot in the marketing space on the channel side, like marketing campaigns, station IDs, advertising bumpers. Those are things you can nicely do with native AI already. And the whole distribution, dubbing, stuff like that is where AI also comes in very handy. And it really, you know, also lowers the barriers for the colleagues to pitch new ideas.
But it lowers the barriers across all industries.
Yes.
And so that is also changing the competitive landscape, because it's allowing people who haven't got your legacy background to enter the marketplace.
For a creative, it's probably the biggest opportunity ever to realize your individual idea. And barriers come down, but we see that there's a huge gap also between user-generated content on the one hand. I mean, there's a lot of also professional creator content and our high-end content. And so for us, the challenge is to keep the quality level at a very high level. And, you know, in the heart of each production always is a great story, great talent. And if you have a strong brand, it's even better.
And so you think that brand identity matters?
Yeah. And so those also in the AI age will remain the main differentiators, I'm pretty sure. And for instance, with Fremantle and also our broadcasters in streamers, we are well positioned in this race because we are the professionals in this area. But it's so important now to challenge our workflows and also to partner with new creatives, also AI native creatives. That's what we do, for instance, at Imagine at Fremantle, our newest AI native label, to broaden the spectrum. In many areas like Daily Drama, there's such a unique know-how in producing those shows that, you know, the barriers to entry remain high. And this will also for us, you know, mean that we have to consider wisely where our profit pools lie in the future and how to best monetize it.
And then just for anybody who is working in RTL, across RTL, various arms, as we've discovered through the RTL stories, what should they be paying attention to if they want to stay on top of their game in the AI world?
Just actively explore it. And I think we've built a good system of sharing learnings across the business units. I mean, there are tools developed at Fremantle, at RTL Germany and other business units. And through our cooperation platforms, we make sure that we connect the dots. We are also doing regular events. Last year, you were part of our first AI for Creatives, where we hosted a one-day event in Berlin, bringing together for the first time all the creatives and production people, sharing best practice. Also, having the vendors present the latest models and tools. And we have the Bertelsmann content collaboration platform, where we do a lot of training, where we also share best practices, masterclasses around AI. So I invite everybody to have a look there, but also to simply reach out. If you have a great idea, or if you're not sure you know how to do it, there's a big community in content marketing, and that's always the best. Connect like-minded creatives, passionate people, and then I think you can have a rapid acceleration.
It was really quite something, the AI Day for Creatives. Mm-hmm. And my mind was blown when I saw some of the things there as well.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, where is the human in this? Of course, the human is quite central, yeah, but so much can be done without the human, including my voice, my face even. I mean, we see it over and over again. So
yeah.
Is there anything that concerns you about AI?
We are in the unique position to actively shape it. And it is happening and it will happen. And as I said, it will be very disruptive, but it will also bring lots of opportunities. And so for us, every day, I think it's about recalibrating what is the best way to go forward, what shall we do and what shouldn't we do, and play an active role and also have a critical discussion. And for instance, also in journalism, on the one hand, it's very helpful already in our newsrooms to speed up processes. But still, I mean, the professional editor is in the lead, but he can take a lot of shortcuts. And as we know, time matters in news very much. On the other hand, through the rise of AI and also the AI-created videos in social media, there's a huge effort in content verification also. And there also we use AI to verify and check content. And this is quite impressive. But what really inspires me, if I see that individual teams build their own solutions. For instance, there is use protection at RTL Germany. Each and every format has to be checked due to strong language, violence or nudity. And the colleagues have created a model that is trained, you know, on thousands of cases. And the system helps them to quicker scan and check the relevant content. And then the team can really focus on evaluating the scenes.
So the speed is just quite something extraordinary with
exactly.
the help of AI.
Yeah.
So you have a reflection of 25 years. That is a long time to stay and move about one company. So clearly there was something that kept you there and excited you. Are you still excited about looking forward?
Yes, I am. And I think what drives me is the opportunities we have in this unique company and environment, the people, the passion. And I mean, we are a hit-driven business. And the great thing is that one great idea can be a game changer. And this is something I think that drives all of us, whether it's in streaming, in linear television, in digital, the vibe and the feeling that if you create something others like, talk about, something that becomes, you know, a big brand, something huge, or, you know, serves a niche audience, I think that is great. And that is also unique for our industry.
And actually, just reflecting back to how you first watched those two channels when you were growing up as a little boy, it was the same for me in Ireland.
Yeah.
I remember it very, very well. Your own relationship with television and content, how has that changed? And has it followed the audiences that we serve?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think still there's somehow a private and a professional eye for me. So I really like to watch a lot of different content. I love to go to the movies. I love to stream at home, all kinds of genres, watch television. But clearly, my private linear consumption has come down in favor of streaming. But still, there's the power of live TV. I mean, we have great entertainment formats. If you take, for instance, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I was involved, you know, back then with a team to launch it across RTL Germany. And it's still a massive hit. And every night, you know, people switch in. But also it's a huge hit on streaming and a real driver for new subscriptions. And this shows that there is a formula to find content that serves different audiences and different platforms. But it's, of course, challenging. But this is the fun part that I think there's never been a bigger content offer than today. And I think this will further grow. And we are well positioned to shape this also in the future.
And then just coming back to that, the holy grail of the next big idea, you mentioned I'm Celebrity,
yeah.
Get Me Out of Here, etc. That also has lasted through years. So it's mm-hmm. a great idea that wasn't just a one-off. It's mm-hmm. continued. When do you know where the peak has been reached and when to pause or stop an idea? And also just the other side of that is, what is it that is the nub of that great idea?
You never ever can plan a new hit show. So it really happens. And I mean, I remember a lot of early discussions on some of the, you know, long-running shows where there was limited face, you know, in Got Talent, in Strictly Come Dancing, Dancing with the Stars, Ninja Warriors. There are always good reasons against it. But at a certain point, you know, if you have the feeling that it will click with the audience, then you have to take a bet. And then you have to do a bold move. And I think this is also something particular for RTL. Always, you know, to come up with a bold move in different areas, surprise the audience, and then, you know, develop it. And this means also that you fail, yeah? Nobody's talking about the big failures, you know. Everybody's talking about the hits, but you can learn from them. It can also be tough. And I think we are the only industry where the day after the airing on linear, or even, you know, the launch on streaming, you exactly know where you stand. And then you have to decide sometimes to pivot. Is it a success, or, you know, do you have to change things? And this is part of the game, you know, and the whole industry and audience is watching you. And I think this is really a unique situation we have in our industry. That's also part of the fun.
Well, Jan, thank you so much for coming to Luxembourg. I know you do from time to time.
Yes.
Which is another lovely thing about RTL Group. We're scattered all over Europe, the world even in different ways. So thank you for your insight and all of the knowledge that you're sharing about AI for creatives and for production, for the whole workflow system. And we will keep our eyes peeled because things are changing so very, very fast. And thank you, everybody, for listening, for watching, as always. Please do listen to previous episodes as well. It's such a selection of guests and it shows you a flavor of what RTL is all about. And if you are part of RTL, let us know your thoughts on the RTL Group intranet in the comments section, and you can get in touch, of course, through the social media channels. Just search for RTL Group on LinkedIn, Instagram and YouTube, and we'll be back very soon with another episode.